Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. When it seems like I can't make it, when it seems like times are hard, when it seems my heart is breaking, oh, when the storm is over, I'll be standing, standing. When the storm is over, I'll be standing. Will you help me say?
Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. You're listening on Blog Talk Radio. It is March the 19th, year of our Lord 2024, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. When the storm is over, I'll be standing. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You're cordially invited to come and be a part of our services at First Baptist. We start each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. we are in the sanctuary giving God the glory and all the praise. You're cordially invited to come and be with us each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. as we go into the sanctuary. We thank God for all of you who are on the line tonight, those of you who are listening over the telephone, those of you who are listening over the internet, and those of you who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. One of the reasons why we use this medium as radio is because we can record it, and you can always come back and listen to the Bible study over the internet. You can carry it with you on your phone. You can carry it with you in your car. You don't have to always be present to be to hear this Bible study. This Bible study is archived. That means that you can always go back to the Facebook page. We like to invite you to go to our Facebook page, First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll go there. You'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find all of our upcoming events on the Facebook page. You'll find the link for the Bible study that you're listening to now and the call-in number. That call-in number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can participate in the Bible study. Also, on the Facebook page, you'll find the link for the Bible study. As I said before, all of our Bible studies are archived. That means if you miss a Bible study, you can always go to the Facebook page, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio, and in the search portal, type in First Baptist Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour, or FBCHS Bible Study. You can type that into the search portal of Blog Talk Radio. It will give you all of the Bible studies that we have done so far. So we invite you to go to our Facebook page and you'll find more information about First Baptist there. You'll find information about the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wake Baptist Association. So we just invite you to go and check out our Facebook page. All of our Bible studies are there. Also on Sunday morning, if you're not able to come to church, if you're living out of the area, if you would like to watch our Sunday morning service, you can do that on our Facebook page. We do go live each Sunday morning at 10 on the Facebook page. You can be a part of the worship service of First Baptist over the internet. So we invite you to connect with us in various different ways. You can come to church on Sunday and bring your tithes and your offering, and that would be greatly appreciated. Or you can stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to take care of your tithes and offerings. You can mail them into the church. Go to the Facebook page and you'll find the correct mailing address. You can also use the Cash App. We do have a Cash App. Start with the $ FBCHS, FBCHS. You can use that Cash App and you can give to the house of God tonight. Again, we want to thank all of you who have joined us tonight. We thank God for all of you who are part of the Bible study. We've had great participation so far this year in our Bible study. We hope that you will continue to do so. Bible study is very important in the life of a Christian, to not just come to church on Sunday morning, but to be a part of the Bible study as well. Bible study is an opportunity to learn more about the Bible. It's an opportunity to sit down and listen, take notes. That way you can know what the Bible is saying to you. So we pray that you will tell others about the Bible study each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Bible study, Power Hour, First Baptist of Holly Springs. Let us pray. We thank God for you. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for all the great things that you have done for us. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We ask now, God, that you will allow your spirit to be with you today, that you will touch this Bible study, those who will hear it later, and that you will anoint them with the power. God, we pray for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are locked behind prison bars. They may be locked up, but they're certainly not locked out. So we ask, God, that you will be with us and that you will give us clarity in our Bible study tonight, that we may know what thus saith the word of God. We pray, God, that you will continue to bless the house of God as we continue to serve you, that you will give us the understanding in our hearts, Father, to say to the world that we serve a live and living God. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our Bible study tonight is coming from 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to work down to verse 14 if we have the time. But we want to let you know that we're in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and we're going to be starting from there. I'm doing a workshop Saturday on many things in the church, and one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is giving in the church. And I thought this Bible study would be a part of that. I wanted to connect this Bible study with that workshop that I'll be doing Saturday. And that workshop, we'll be talking about three or four different things, but one of the things that we're going to be talking about is giving in the church, giving in the church. People have a problem of giving in the church. They don't have a problem of coming. They don't have a problem of shouting and hallelujah and amen. But whenever offering time comes, it always gets quiet. Amen. It always gets quiet in the church whenever offering time comes around. And it's because people are not used to giving. They're not used to giving to the house of God. And so one of the things that we want to talk about tonight is giving in the house of God. Our lesson is called Church Sharing Their Resources. Church Sharing Their Resources. And all churches should share their resources. In this particular lesson, Paul wanted to call attention to the grace of God given to the Macedonian church. He acquainted the Corinthians with the gifts of God given through them. The Macedonians were Christians who gave to the collection for the poor in Jerusalem. They were in the midst of affliction and poverty, but joyfully responded because of the sense of favor God had bestowed upon them. The Macedonians gave significantly on the behalf of those who were in need. They wanted to assist other believers and show their commitment as followers of Christ. When we think about the gift that God gave to the world through Jesus Christ, we should be motivated to respond. We should show our appreciation for the sacrifice he made. The Macedonians not only were appreciative, but also proved it by their actions. As we have, therefore, this opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul was challenging the Corinthians to emulate the actions of the Macedonians. Titus, who was Paul's representative, had previously encouraged the Corinthians to give toward the collection of the poor. But in light of their recent conflict with Paul, they had lost their zeal for collections. When affliction abounds in our lives, we should still be committed to God and to ministering to others. The Macedonians were rejoicing in the midst of their troubles. Paul was encouraging the Corinthians to do the same. He told Titus to complete the gathering of the collections from the Macedonians. Paul wanted them to prove their allegiance to him and their love for others. The Corinthians believed and excelled in everything. They had strong faith, good preaching, and much knowledge. They had enthusiasm and they had love. And Paul appealed to them to have the same passion and the same commitment for collections. For him, the offering was a remembering of the great things that God had done for them. He was not commanding them to give, but urging them to prove that their love was sincere. Love manifests itself in action. We talked about that several months ago in our Bible study. As little children love us, and they love what we do, and we must be receptive to that. And the same thing goes with the house of God. We should be receptive to the love that we have for one another. Our actions reveal our heart. And Paul wanted the Corinthians to reveal where their devotion and their affection was focused. Paul urged the Corinthians to complete the collections for the poor that they had begun and planned a year earlier. The gifts offered should be in proportion to what they were able to give. God does not want us to be burdened by giving that which we cannot sacrifice. Whatever we give, we should do it willingly. Every man according to as prospereth unto his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So when we go to that first verse, it says here in that first verse of the 8th chapter, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, let me read that in the New Translation. It says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the church in Macedonia. When he used these words, these 16th century words, to wit, Paul has simply said, I want you to know. I want you to know of the grace that God has given to us, the gift that God has given to us. Paul wanted them to understand the great gift that God had given them and to make known God's gift of grace delivered to the church in Macedonia. We need to know the great gift that God has given us. We need to know the great sacrifice that was given to us through Jesus Christ. And because God was so giving, we should be giving as well. We should have a heart of giving, a heart of sacrifice, that we may know the grace of God so that we can be delivered just like the church of Macedonia. In verse 2, it says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of your joy and their deep poverty abound unto the richness of their liberty. Paul said that the trials that the Corinthians had gone through had become a benefit to them. That's hard to understand. Let me say that again. Paul says that the trials that we go through are a benefit to us. The trials that we go through, the problems and the afflictions that we go through, the tests of our understanding and our love, which means the test of tribulation. Despite our tribulations and despite their tribulation, the Corinthians had ministered and maintained their joy. He wanted them to do it liberally. In other words, to do it without begrudgingly, or to do it willingly, to be sincere in their giving, to be generous in their giving. Although the Corinthians had dealt with deep poverty, they had been rich and generous. And one thing that we have to learn is that we all are on a fixed income. People say, well, I'm on a fixed income. Everybody is on a fixed income. What you make in your paycheck, what you get through the mail is fixed. It does not go up or down unless you get some type of promotion. So everybody's on a fixed income. So I hear so many people say, well, I'm on a fixed income. That's no excuse to give to the house of God. Everybody's income is fixed. Nobody gets one check one day and another check the next time that's significantly higher than the other. All of our monies are fixed. So he says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. He wanted them to understand that when he used the word for their power, he meant for their ability. The word forbearing means their ability. It means to testify. The phrase willingly of themselves comes from the Greek words, which means self-chosen or voluntarily. Paul complimented the Christians and the Corinthians on their willingness to serve. He testifies that the Corinthians gave above and beyond what they had financially. Sometimes we have to make a sacrifice in the house of God. Many times the church will come before you, and after you have given the offering, and after you have given the tithe, sometimes they will ask for certain things in the house of God. And too many times we will say, well, I've already given. But Paul wants us to understand that giving is part of the sacrifice that we give to the house of God. It has great meaning in our lives. It teaches us to understand the gift that God has given us. One of the things that I have tried to instill on people is that tithing and giving in the church is a practice. One does not come into the church one day and automatically start tithing. Tithing is something that you have to do for a period of time, a long period of time. I remember as I was growing up in the church, when I didn't even have money, my mother or my grandmother would give me a quarter and say, put that in the plate. What she was doing was, it wasn't about the amount. What she was doing was teaching me how to give. And so many times we forget to do that. We forget to teach our children how to give. When children learn how to give at an early age, it does not become strange to them to do it when they get older. We have to learn. It's a practice. It's something that you have to do over and over again before it comes to a point where you're not thinking about it so much. You just do it because it's a practice. It's something that you have been taught to do, something that you want to do. So this is why he says, for their power, I bear record. In other words, these people were collecting offerings from the beginning. They started early in their belief and they began to give. And as they got older and older, they continued that practice. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entry that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. God's word for praying here means to seek God. You got to seek God in your giving. You have to ask God to help you to be a giver in the house of God. It does not happen automatically. And that's why he says, I entreat you. In other words, I exalt you. I beg you to learn how to give. The Corinthians almost begged Paul to receive the gift that they were giving. The Corinthians also wanted Paul to accept the fellowship of ministering to the saints. This word fellowship means the coming together of God's people, to be respective of one another, the community of God's people, the communion of God's people, and the joint practitioners of worship. The Corinthians not only wanted to continue communicating with Paul, but also continue helping Paul in any way possible. In this verse, Paul continued to emphasize how the Corinthians had gone above and beyond expectation. The phrase, not as we hope, actually means beyond our hopes. The Corinthians gave themselves to God first. Let me say that again. The Corinthians gave themselves to God first, and then they gave their money to Paul. That's the concept of giving. You must first give your heart to God. Once you give your heart to God, then it's easier to give in the house of God. As I said before, it is a practice. At first, you must give yourself to God, and then you are able to give into the house of God. They even gave their money by the will of God, by the testimony of God. The Corinthians pleased God with their giving. Verse 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he also finished in you the same grace also. Titus had encouraged the Corinthian church to give in the first place. Paul hoped that Titus could encourage them to keep on giving, to give, have a desire for giving, to encourage them, to exalt them, to finish what they had started. So many times we start something and we don't completely finish it. Paul was urging Titus to encourage the Corinthians to fully complete their giving. We have to finish what we start. And Paul wanted them to know that he said also would finish in you the same grace also. God wants us to be complete. He wants us to be finished. He does not want us to be halfway Christians, a part-time Christians. He does not want us to be casual Christians. He wants us to have a sense of mind, a sense of urgency when it comes down to giving to the house of God. Paul was urging Titus to encourage those people at Corinth to completely give and complete the giving that they had started a year earlier. So many times people will start to give or start to tithe, and somehow along the way they'll wean off and they'll stop giving. Maybe it's because they feel like they don't have it, or they feel like it's not being used properly. And that's another lesson altogether, how the church handles the money that people give them. That is a very important lesson. We'll talk about that later on this year. But for us, the tither, that is not our concern up front. Our concern is to give. And then we can say that we have done what we are supposed to do. If the people who receive the offering does not do what they're supposed to do, then the blood is on their hands, not on yours. You have done what God has told you to do. In verse 7, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in all your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. The Greek term here, abound, means to excel, to go in what you do. The word utterance here is another Greek word, which translated, which means to be diligent in what you do. It means to be earnest in what you do. Paul said the Corinthians had excelled in their faith. They had excelled in their speech. They had excelled in their word. They had excelled in their earnestness and love for Paul and Titus. However, Paul wanted to make sure that they excelled at their grace of giving as well. Too many times we want to get closer in our worship. We want to get closer in our faith. We excel in everything in the house of God. We have beautiful buildings and beautiful churches. We spare no expense when it comes down to building a church or building a great edifice. We have wonderful choirs in our church. We spare no expense in excelling in our music in our church. We have great preachers. We spare no expense when it comes down to preaching. Some preachers are making six figures in churches. But Paul is saying, if you excel in all those things, why can't you excel in giving? If you want to have the best in all of these other things, then why don't you have the best in what you do for Christ as well? Paul wanted to make sure that they excelled in the grace of giving. In verse 8, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that ye through the poverty might be rich. I say this every Sunday morning when we are about to take our offering. I always say that let us remember that Christ was poor, but yet for our sake, he came and made us rich so that we can enjoy the richness of Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we therefore will share in his richness. God took off Jesus took off his royal diadem, his richness, to come down to earth and be poor, to be born of a virgin, laid in a stable. That's about as poor as you can get. He did that to show us that poverty is something that you can abound, that you can excel from. You can move from that. And because of the fact that he came as one that's poor, we through our giving can become rich. I always say upon the first day of the week, let every man and every woman lay in store according to what God has given them. God has given us a lot in this life, beloved. God woke you up this morning. God started you on your way. God allowed the air to move in your lungs. The blood is still running warm in your veins. God has given us great gifts, and we should have the same gifts. Paul says, this is not a commandment. This is not a decree. The word here wants us to understand this is something that I have asked you to do. To use your diligence to give unto the house of God. Paul was not making a decree that the Corinthians must give more, but he wanted them to have the chance to prove the sincerity of their love. Paul also reminded the Corinthians of the unselfishness of Christ in order to encourage them to remain unselfish as well. Paul said the Corinthians know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I said before, how rich he was before he came to earth and how he came to earth as a poor man. Christ did not ultimately favor for the Corinthians. Christ did the ultimate favor for the Corinthians and for us by leaving his throne in heaven as King of Kings and coming down to earth to form in the form of a child. Despite his eternal royalty, Christ came to earth as a baby born in a manger, grew up having to work as a carpenter. Ultimately, Christ made the ultimate sacrifice by allowing himself to be sacrificed on the cross to accomplish salvation for all who are in him. Christ's poverty made us rich in grace and in mercy. Look at verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. 16th century language is somewhat confusing at times, but Paul wants us to understand that he wants us to have a diligence in giving. Let me read that in the New Translation. Here is my advice, he says. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first and wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness that you showed in the beginning of the year continue throughout the whole year. This is what Paul is saying in this particular scripture. Paul gave the Corinthians his advice on what to do with their giving, their advice. The word advice means he wanted to counsel them, to give them understanding. He said it is expedient for you, which means that it's profitable to you. The word to be forward, which means that this giving and the profit that you will give will be coming. They were coming forward. Paul wanted them not only to continue to give, but also to continue to be determined, just as they had been a year earlier. He wanted them to know that you must finish what you started. Paul challenged the Corinthians to finish their giving. He said that just as there was a readiness and a determination to give before, the same should be now. The Corinthians should be determined to finish their giving according to what they had to give. In verse 12, it says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man haveth, and not according to that he have not. Paul reminded the Corinthians that they could only give what they had. He emphasized the importance of the right attitude in giving. A willing mind, he said. He says, for there must first be a willing mind. That means you must have a readiness to give, an understanding of what giving is. He says, a willing mind that is accepted according to that which man haveth. In other words, you know what you got. You know how much you got. And you should have a willing mind to share what is given. In the church, we always say 10% is what is needed in the house of God. And 10% is what is asked of the people of God. Paul wanted them to understand that the gift of grace delivered to the churches, particularly the church in Macedonia and the church in Corinth, all the things that God had given them came because God had a willing mind to give it to them. And just like that, we should have a willing mind to give to others. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. In times of affliction, many times when we find ourselves in affliction, we say, well, we don't have much to give. But whatever you give is good. There was a definite theme of willingness to give within this text. The word for accepted, which means to well received. Paul suggests that the proper attitude in giving is more important than the amount being given. Let me say that again. Paul suggests that the proper attitude in giving is more important than the amount that you give. He said that the gift is well received according to what the Corinthians were able to give and not according to what they could not give. In other words, beloved, you can't give what you don't have. You can only give what you have. And Paul says here that you have to have a willingness of mind and the proper attitude in giving, because the proper attitude is more important than the amount. So many people have no idea what that means. And they feel that if they give a lot of money to the house of God, that somehow it clears them of all of their sins. But no amount of money can wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. What Paul is stating is that you got to have a perfect, or not a perfect, but a great attitude in giving. Your attitude toward giving must be something that you excel in. You know, at Christmas time, we always see the Salvation Army with the red bucket and the lady and the gentleman out there ringing the bell. And for some reason, we have no problem giving there. I guess it's because our attention is drawn to that red kettle and that ringing bell. And many times we'll come out of the store, we'll come out of the market, and we'll see them outside ringing that bell, and we'll give. It's automatic. It's Christmas time, we think. And it's a good time to give. And that's true. There's nothing wrong with that. We should give. We should give to help those who are less fortunate than we are. But what Paul wants to remind us is the attitude that counts. Attitude in which you give that really is important. Verse 14. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. Verse 14. But by equity or equality, that now is this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be supplied for your want, that they may be equity. Paul did not want us to put the entire burden on the Corinthians to do all of the giving to the ministry. He also didn't want the Corinthians to give so much that they were suffering from not having enough for themselves. Paul knew that others needed to give as well, but he believed there should be equity in giving. In other words, everybody should give, not just a few. When only a few people give, that's not equity. Everyone should give. If you have only 10% of your church giving, then where's the 90% of the people? What are they doing? So many people are tipping the church instead of giving. They'll give a dollar, $2, $5, and they think they've done something in the house of God. Well, you've given an offering, but you have not given according to the equity of the church. If you got people in the church who are giving 10%, and you got people who are not giving their 10%, that puts a strain on the people who are giving their 10%. And that's not fair, beloved. It's not fair for only a small group of people to give and everybody enjoy. You know, it's like one of those things where, you know, you do a lot of people are called to do work and everybody's working except for one person. And when the job is over, he said, look what we did. No, you didn't do anything. And so we got to understand that everybody is supposed to give. There should be an equity or equality in giving in the house of God. Everyone should give according to what you have. Your have might be different from my have. My have might be different from your have. But as we give what we have, what we can, what we have been asked to give across the board, it will make a great difference. Somebody told me, I heard a preacher say to me many years ago, he said, preacher, we wouldn't have to sell chicken dinners and spaghetti dinners and bake sales if everybody paid their tithes. This is why you see churches having to do all kind of things today to raise money. We have rainbow tees. Women have church hat programs. And we have all kind of activities going on just to get people to give to the house of God. But if people gave that 10%, if people tithed in the church, we wouldn't have to go through all of that. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having the bake sales and the spaghetti dinners and the rainbow tees and all of that. Nothing wrong with any of that. But the problem is we have to do that because the people in the house of God are not giving. So the church must do that in order to maintain itself. We have to make up the difference to those who don't give. Paul here wants us to understand the word equity or equality, which means that all people are giving and all people want to give, and there is no lack in the house of God. Paul says the Corinthians should be able to meet the lack of others now, so that in the future, if the Corinthians were ever in lack, others could help them. Since Christians share supplies in times of need, this is entirely possible for you to receive supplies in your time of need. You know, it's important for us to understand the concept of giving. Concept of giving also opens us up to receiving. When one gives, one is in position to receive. And we know that the grace of God has given us great power, great understanding, great things God has done to us or for us, so that we can receive what God has given to us. God wants us to understand that the attention for us today is to give to the house of God. Churches must share their resources. People must share their resources. Paul says, here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started. And so many people today are in the house of God. They shout hallelujah. What somebody say, they'll raise $100 worth of hell and give a dollar in the plate. That's true. Some people will do that. But we need to know today that if you're going to call yourself a child of God, you need to learn how to give to the house of God. It's not just about coming to church on Sunday morning. Not just about wearing expensive suits or expensive dresses. Not about jumping up and down. It's about how you give to the house of God. All of that is good, but giving is also important. Giving to the house of God is just as important as the other things that we do in the church. Paul urged the Corinthians to complete what they had started. When we think about the gift that God has given to the world through Jesus Christ, we should be motivated to respond. We should show our appreciation for the sacrifice that Christ made. The Corinthian believers excelled in everything. They had strong faith, which is good. They had strong preaching, which is good. They had strong knowledge, that was good. They had strong enthusiasm, which was good, but they were lacking on their collections. And all of that is a part of the household of faith. You can't have one without the other. And so today, beloved, we must learn that in order for us to be complete in what we do and complete in who we are, we must learn how to be complete as a child of God. I'm going to open the lines. Maybe there's someone who would like to add to the lesson tonight. You may be a tither. You may be someone who has not yet learned how to tithe. We pray that you will at some point. The grace of God will fall upon you, and that you will learn how to give to the house of God. Okay. I'm going to open the lines. Ask you to turn your phone down. Amen. All right. Let's go to the lines. Area code 910. Last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I caught the end of the study, and I enjoyed that part. I'm going to go back and listen. But I came in when you were talking about the attitude in which you give is very important. Not giving not giving with an attitude like the Bible says, a cheerful giver, and not giving, you know, like you just hate to give, you know, begrudging or something like that. I think that's very important too. The attitude that you have as far as giving is very important. And God gave the ultimate gift. Everybody knows that nobody can beat what he gave. You know, he gave his life for us. And that's about all I can say so far. I'm going to go back and listen to the rest of it.
Okay. You can do that. Usually, the Bible study is recorded. You can get that probably about an hour after the Bible study is over. You can go to you can go back to the Facebook page, and you can click on that link, and you can hear the complete Bible study. And they usually put it up about an hour after the Bible study is over. All right, let's go to the next number. Area code 757. I asked for digits 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. This is Sherry.
Good evening.
Yes, tithing is a very good thing and something that should be done from the heart. I remember as a child as well that my parents and grandparents would give, you know, sometimes change, sometimes maybe a dollar to put into church to start, you know, from an early age. Now, I have to admit, I haven't always tied it and given what I'm supposed to give, but I do my best.
Do you think
it's really important?
Do you think by them teaching you early to give, it helped you a lot more so?
Yes, to understand what it was for and what it meant, and that you shouldn't give grudgingly. Because I, you know, have heard adults asking, you know, why do I have to tithe? You know, like if we were having a Bible study or a Sunday school on it, they didn't quite understand the reasoning behind giving. And, you know, sometimes it's where's the money going? They're more worried about that. That was a part of what you had mentioned. They feel like the church is maybe misusing the money. But as you also say, that shouldn't be our concern. We should be more concerned that we're giving and whoever, like you said, is taking that money should be doing with it what they're supposed to, and if not, they have to pay for that. That's not on the tither.
That's right. That's not on the tither. Mm-hmm. It's on those who are in charge of the monies. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a child, as I said before, they would give me a quarter to put in church. I wanted to spend that quarter so bad, I wanted to go to the store. I could buy me some candy and some cookies, and I wanted to keep that quarter. I really did. But when that plate came around, I had to put that quarter in the plate. It was only a quarter, but what I'm saying, I was a kid, I was about 6 years old, but that quarter meant a lot to me, you know, and I really wanted to keep that quarter. But it taught me. It taught me to put that quarter in the plate. And as I got older, giving in the church has not become a problem now. I don't think about it so much so now because I know that that is something that I have done basically all of my life. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. I enjoyed the lesson, Reverend Rogers.
Thank you. Thank you.
I like in the lesson here where Paul didn't have to beg for money from the Macedonian Christians, which,
right,
you know, he wouldn't have done anyway, but instead, you know, they were begging him to receive the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just voluntarily gave as much as they could, even beyond their means. So Paul,
right,
you know, he commended the Macedonian church for their extraordinary generosity.
Right.
You know, we know where they had extreme poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so all those Macedonian Christians, they didn't have much to give. They really wanted to give.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And as you said in the lesson there, in other words, that was a privilege for them to give. In other words, true Christians' generosity, it can't be measured how much one has to give, because often those who have less are more generous with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So as Christians, we're called not just to talk about giving, but we have to demonstrate our love, you know, for God through our actions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute. As a trustee of the church, could you just explain off the top of your head, what does the church do with money? Could you just explain that? What do we do with the money that we receive from people?
Oh, it's for the upkeeping of the church.
Yep, exactly. And so many people don't understand. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Right. You can't operate, like you said, if you've just got a few tatters or a few people giving an offering, a small offering, and expect the church to grow. It's no growth there. You can't do certain things because you just don't have the finances to grow.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that, because I wanted somebody who's a trustee of the church to speak on that, because people understand a lot of times when the pastor asks people to give, they think that the money goes to the pastor. All of the pastor takes the plate home with him on Sunday morning. and you know what? It may happen in some churches, but in the large majority of our churches, that is not the case. In the large majority of our churches, that money is used for the upbuilding and the upkeeping of the church. We got to have, we got to keep the lights on. We got to keep the heat and the air on. We got to pay musicians. We got to pay those people who come in and play. You know, you can't have church without music. People don't want to come to church without music. You got to pay the pastor. You got to pay the men, the people who clean the church. You got to pay the people that cut the grass. You know, you got to keep things going, and it's not free. And all of that, just like we have to have money to maintain our own house, we have to have money to maintain the house of God. And people need to know that. The money just doesn't go into somebody's pocket on Sunday morning. That money is used for the upkeep of the church, so that when you come into the house of God on Sunday morning, everything is in order. Everything looks good. You're in a wonderful place, in a beautiful place. Where the upkeep is done, people, the normal or the regular churchgoer, they don't have to worry about paying the church's light bill. They don't have to worry about the church's phone bill. But those who are in charge, they have to take care of it. They have to make sure all of those things are paid. And that's where the money goes. We have to write checks to those people that supply us and to do the different things that we do in the house of God. The church needs people to take care of the books. The church needs people to take care of the taxes. The church needs people to be lawyers in the house of God. So we have to pay those people. And that's where the funds go in the house of God. It just doesn't go in somebody's pocket, but it is used for the upkeeping of the church. And so many times people have the wrong or the negative attitude. And, you know, I do believe that some people know better, but they use that as an excuse not to give. We always find excuses not to give. I'm not gonna give because they're gonna give it all away. They're gonna give it to the pastor, or they're gonna spend it on themselves, you know. But no, that's not what happens in the house of God. In the large majority of our churches, that is not what happens in the house of God. The large majority of churches are honest, and they handle their money faithfully and truthfully, and they make sure that everything is covered in the house of God. Thank you so much, trustee. I wanted a trustee to say that because I wanted them to hear from someone who's in charge of the finances of the church what goes on in the house of God. I wanted to ask, go back to Deaconess Rainey. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
What can we do What can we do to encourage people to give? What can the church do to encourage people to give?
I would say maybe teach some classes on giving, straight from, you know, some things in the Bible, just like this lesson here is talking about giving. Maybe do some lessons on giving, and I think that would be the right thing to do, because you'd be talking straight out of the Bible. I think that you shouldn't beat people over the head about giving, because then they probably won't give it all if they were given anything, you know.
Right.
I don't think you should abuse, you know, talk bad to the people about giving, because that might go the opposite direction.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Maybe just lessons out of the Bible would be the best thing.
Absolutely. And that's why this Saturday I'm going to be talking about that, about giving in the church. So that's one of the subjects. That's not what the whole workshop is about, but part of it is about giving in the house of God, because people claim that they don't know. I have had so many people say to me, well, maybe they don't know how to give. I have a problem with that. How can you not know? How can people not know to give to the house of God? People have been giving to the house of God for over 200 years. How can all of a sudden a generation of people grow up and don't know how, or don't know what to give, or how to give? You know, but we still have to teach that over and over and over again. I see why Noah had to preach the same sermon. It's going to rain. He had to preach that sermon for almost 100 years because they didn't get it the first time. They didn't get it the second time. They didn't get it the 10th time. They didn't get it the 100th time. You got to say it over and over and over and over again. And perhaps by doing that, it becomes an understanding for them to give to the house of God. I want to go to, who is that? Is that Sherry on the line? Is that you, Sherry? Or is that Paula? 5803, who is that? Huh?
It's Sherry. I'm sorry, I had you on mute. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Sherry, do you understand when I said that if the people tithe, you wouldn't have to have so many bake sales and so many cake sales?
Absolutely.
What do you think about that? All of those things that we have to do in order to get the people to give.
You were absolutely right, because we do tend to have to do those things to, I guess, subsidize for people not properly tithing.
Right.
You know, to build extra things onto the church. But if we give and, you know, give from our heart, it would not be as hard, because it, you know, God would multiply that generous gift.
Exactly.
Yes, I think it's very important.
Amen. Thank you so very much. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add?
Reverend Rogers, I just
go
like
right
to say this here. I agree with Sister Sherry, and I would wish it would get to the point one day that you wouldn't have to do those things as far as, this, you know, as selling the supplement for the non-givers, let's say like that.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. And it's not fair for a few people to give and the rest of the people not to give. And that's why we have to do that. That's why we have to do it, because so many people are sitting in the church and they won't give anything. They give what they want to give. They give what they want to give, not what they should give. And, you know, if you ask people to give what they want to give, they might not give you but a dollar. Some people don't want to give that. So we have to have a better understanding of giving in the house of God. Anybody else have anything else they'd like to add?
This is Sherry again. Yes, even if we sometimes have to compromise something we may want, and I stress want, not need, to be able to tithe, because, you know, sometimes we put ourselves first.
We have to consider our spending habits. And people will go out and buy a $300 suit to wear to church, but they only put a dollar in the plate. You know, so sometimes I think we have our priorities. We have our priorities mixed up. You know, and we need to learn the difference. And I thank God for all of you for saying that tonight. Thank you so much. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this lesson tonight on giving in the house of God and sharing our resources. We pray, God, that as we continue to be faithful unto you, that you apportion in our hearts a sense of giving, a sense of giving to the house of God, that we may have a willingness to give to the house of God and a made-up mind to give to the house of God, so that we can continue to give and to receive the great blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Father, we pray for all the tithers who are giving in churches right now, that you will continue to lift them up, Father. Whatever they need, God, we ask that you will supply their need, that those who give to the house of God not go lacking in anything that they need, that every bill be paid, every desire of their heart be given unto them because of the great sacrifice that they give unto the house of God. We thank you now, Lord, for your gift to us, your son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that we become worthy of that great gift. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you all tonight for joining us in the Bible study. We pray you have a great, great week to continue to give God the glory so that we may continue to receive the great work that God has done for us. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night,
everybody. Have a good night, everyone.